Weight loss solutions are not one-size-fits-all. Hers makes it simpler to get started and stick with a weight loss plan backed by expert-guided online care that puts your weight loss goals first. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
Sin City Stories contains explicit content that may be disturbing to some listeners, including strong language, graphic details, and depictions of violent crimes. Listener discretion is advised. As the early 1980s rolled around, the Cold War between the United States and Russia was well into its third decade, and tensions between these global superpowers were steadily mounting. As newly elected U.S. President Ronald Reagan promised to take an aggressive stance against the Soviets, Russian troops secretly invaded Afghanistan, and the USSR faced an international backlash over their human rights violations. It was amidst this backdrop that an elderly Las Vegas couple, known for their outspoken views against the Soviet Union, were found murdered in their home under circumstances straight out of a spy thriller. Since its founding on May 15, 1905, Las Vegas has gone from being a small railway stop in the middle of the Mojave Desert to a glittering neon oasis of gambling, shopping, fine dining, and entertainment, welcoming tens of millions of visitors from around the world every year. Through its relatively short history, the city has been witness to over a century's worth of murder, robberies, arson, and mayhem. And that's what we're here to share with you. In collaboration with mayheminthedesert.com, this is Sin City Stories, Vegas True Crime, the sordid tales behind the stranger-than-fiction history of fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada. It was June 25, 1981, and no one had heard from either Jack Rabinowitz or his wife Xenia for several days. This lack of contact was well out of the ordinary for the elderly couple. The pair were well known for being deeply involved in not only their own family, but also with the cultural and political fabric of Las Vegas. When a maid arrived at the couple's home a little after 10 a.m., she immediately noticed things seemed a little off. There were 3 days' worth of newspapers strewn about near the front door. A security gate near the home's entrance was ajar, and the Rabinowitz's 4 dogs were frantically barking. In fact, the barking emanating from the home was so incessant that several neighbors had already called the police to complain. All of this gave the maid an instinctual sense that she should not enter the home. So instead, she flagged down a passing security patrol. The security guard, followed by the Rabinowitz's maid, walked slowly through the sprawling 6,000-square-foot residence. They discovered that the house had been completely ransacked, adding to the sense of building dread in both the maid and the security guard. Their worst fears were confirmed when the duo entered the master bedroom and found the lifeless bodies of Jack and Xenia on their bed, each having been killed by a single gunshot to the back of the head. The security guard immediately contacted the police, and before long, several officers from the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department were on the scene. Through their investigation, homicide detectives were able to piece together most of what transpired the night that Jack and Xenia Rabinowitz were killed. At around 8 p.m. on the night of June 23, 1981, Jack Rabinowitz received a phone call from some friends informing him that they were driving to Las Vegas from Los Angeles. Not long after hanging up the phone, there was another ring. Again, it was Jack's acquaintances, this time calling to inform him that their car had broken down and they were now currently at McCarran Airport in need of a ride. This suspiciously rapid change of travel plans apparently did not dissuade Jack from being a good friend. He hung up the phone, got into his 1969 Lincoln, and made the short drive from his house to the airport. The Lincoln was ultimately found abandoned in a parking lot at McCarran Airport, roughly 2 hours after police learned of the Rabinowitz murders. Despite their best efforts, though, investigators were never able to determine why the Lincoln was abandoned at the airport. However, detectives did develop two leading theories. The first was that Jack drove his friends back to his home, and the Lincoln was later abandoned in the airport parking lot as the killers caught a plane out of town. The second theory was that Jack was forced into a different vehicle at the airport before being driven back to the house. Regardless of the means of transport, once back at the home in the Sierra Vista Ranchos neighborhood, the killers bound and gagged the elderly couple. When police found the Rabinowitzes, they had marks on their wrists from handcuffs and still had duct tape covering their mouths. Detectives noted that the crime scene showed no sign of a struggle, indicating that the couple likely knew at least one of their attackers. The killers had rummaged through the home, which was no small task in the 6,000-square-foot residence. They forced Jack and Xenia to open each of the four safes located in the home as the couple was led from room to room. Eventually, the assassins found what they were looking for: a single file located in a drawer in one of the safes. The contents of the stolen file were never determined, but the Rabinowitzes' children believed the document contained information that their parents considered worth guarding. Once the intruders had the file in their possession, they took the couple to their bedroom and forced Jack and Xenia to lie down, face down, on the bed. Then, one of the killers took a pillow and used it as a crude silencer to muffle the sound of two gunshots fired in quick succession from a .22-caliber handgun. The pillow with the powder burns was found lying next to the bodies. No fingerprints were found in the home or in the abandoned 1969 Lincoln at McCarran Airport. It was at this point that some started to toy with the idea that whoever happened to be behind the murders, they were no amateurs. The Rabinowitz murders had the hallmarks of being a professional job, and robbery clearly was not a motive in the crime. Over $250,000 worth of cash, art, and other valuables were found in the home. But not much beyond that was clear about the double murder of a quiet retired couple in suburban Vegas. However, the lack of fingerprints, lack of witnesses, and execution-style slaying all pointed to suspects who had been on a mission. Jack and Xenia, each 72 years of age at the time of their deaths, had met as children in their native Latvia and married after immigrating to the U.S. from the Soviet Union. Jack worked as a professional violinist, though he made his fortune by investing in real estate. This allowed the Rabinowitzes to purchase a home in an area of Las Vegas where their neighbors included former governors, casino executives, and Mr. Las Vegas himself, Wayne Newton. The couple were known for their love of dogs and the arts, though neighbors said Jack and Xenia largely kept to themselves around the neighborhood. All in all, the Rabinowitzes were beloved members of the community, although the couple was allegedly involved in lesser publicized civic activities. The Rabinowitzes were proud of their Jewish heritage, and they were no strangers to facing persecution because of their identity, the most recent iteration of which was occurring in their former homeland. The Soviet Union's persecution of its Jewish citizens had steadily worsened throughout the 1950s and 60s, and only increased after the 1967 Six-Day War rocked the Middle East. Soviet Jews faced frequent limits on employment opportunities and bans on cultural expression. These harsh measures were then coupled with a Byzantine system of approval that Jews had to undertake in order to emigrate from the Soviet Union.
This system was designed to ban large-scale Jewish migration out of the country.
In some cases, even just applying to leave the country would result in the immediate loss of employment, and even occasionally resulted in incarceration at a prison camp far from home. The rare few who actually managed to obtain approval to leave the USSR usually had to wait for years while they navigated endless amounts of bureaucracy. These hundreds of thousands of Soviet Jews who were barred from leaving the country became known as the Refuseniks. At the time of the Rabinowitz's murders, the Soviet Union was facing mounting international condemnation for failing to take steps to curb anti-Semitism within its own borders, while at the same time preventing its Jewish citizens from emigrating to Israel or the United States. It was a human rights abuse which was intolerable for Jack and Xenia, as well as hundreds of thousands of other activists across America. Grassroots organizations sprung up across the country throughout the 1960s, 1970s, and 1980s, with the aim of putting enough pressure on the USSR that it would abandon its policies regarding Jewish emigration. Even civil rights leaders, such as Martin Luther King Jr., spoke out in support of Soviet Jews and their struggles. Police investigators believe the Rabinowitzes were involved in an international underground railroad that assisted Jewish people in escaping from the Soviet Union and getting to either Israel or the United States. As a result of their advocacy, it was believed the couple maintained active ties to people still in the USSR. They then may have used these links to facilitate this illegal migration that, although it was rooted in strong moral impulses, angered one of the two key players in the Cold War. In addition to their alleged clandestine efforts, the Rabinowitzes were also well known for their public criticism of the Soviet Union, with this activism often vocal enough to draw the attention of Soviet authorities. All of this work to confront the authoritarian government of the USSR provided plenty of motive for murder, particularly in light of the Soviet Union's demonstrated penchant to use violence against political dissidents who were living abroad. It was only a few years before the Rabinowitz murders when Bulgarian dissident writer Georgi Markov was infamously assassinated in London by a Soviet agent
infected with a poisoned ricin pellet from an umbrella.
And in December of 1982, not long after the Rabinowitz slayings, Russian author Yuri Brokin was found murdered in New York City, having been killed by a single gunshot to the head. Like the Rabinowitzes, Brokin was a Jewish immigrant from the Soviet Union and an outspoken opponent of his former homeland. And just as in the Rabinowitz slaying, robbery was not a motive. Brokin's killer had stolen several documents but left behind $15,000 in cash located in an attaché case.
These similarities were not lost on investigators back in Nevada.
Las Vegas homicide detectives conducted multiple interviews with two Russian nationals who were suspected of having ties to the KGB and who also happened to be acquainted with the Rabinowitzes. One of these Russian nationals had previously failed a polygraph test administered by the NYPD in relation to the Brokin murder. The FBI even offered their assistance to Vegas detectives as federal agents believed the two Russian nationals were working as spies. But police were never able to develop enough concrete evidence to make an arrest of either suspect. Those following the murders of Soviet immigrants during the 1980s speculated the KGB may have used its connections with the burgeoning Russian mafia to carry out the assassination of those considered threats to the Soviet regime. In the weeks and months following the Rabinowitz's murders, advertisements ran in the local Las Vegas newspapers, offering a $30,000 reward for information about the crime. Reporters with those papers occasionally wrote follow-up articles about the case in the hopes that a witness with some new piece of evidence might come forward. And just as the public didn't give up hope of solving this crime, neither did law enforcement. Dave Hatch, the lead detective on the Rabinowitz double homicide, pursued the case for at least 15 years, long after the Soviet Union had collapsed.
Unfortunately, Hatch never developed enough evidence to make an arrest.
As such, the mysterious double murder now sits among dozens of other cold cases in the files of the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department. In the meantime, we can only speculate about the crime. What we do know is that Jack Rabinowitz,
and possibly his wife Xenia,
was acquainted with one of the killers whom he left to go meet at the airport. We know that the killers were only after a single file.
A file so important that the assassins felt the need to leave no witnesses.
And we know that Jewish dissidents of the Soviet Union, like the Rabinowitzes, were being targeted for death, in all likelihood by those working on behalf of the KGB. One of the investigators' more interesting theories was that the murders of the Rabinowitzes,
as well as that of author Yuri Brokin,
may have been carried out by members of Russian organized crime syndicates on behalf of the Soviet government. This may have been part of a potential effort to create plausible deniability if, in fact, the murders were ordered by communist officials in Moscow. It's certainly notable that the influence of the so-called Russian mafia took greater root throughout the 1980s. And the criminal trials of top Russian-American mobsters in the 1990s revealed details of the teams of assassins employed by these groups. In 1998, retired FBI agent Robert Levinson testified that assassins of the Russian mafia operated in squads he dubbed combat brigades, and that these teams of hitmen would frequently escape to the beaches of Miami after conducting a hit. Levinson also testified that this organized crime enterprise had infiltrated American cities from coast to coast. While it may be unlikely that the Rabinowitz murders will ever be solved, there is still some hope. Companies like Othram Labs have been making breakthroughs in DNA technology, which have been solving cold cases across the country with the use of only trace amounts of genetic material. It's entirely possible that the killers in this case, who had acted so carefully but nevertheless roamed throughout the large Rabinowitz home, may have had more opportunities to inadvertently leave behind trace genetic material, and therefore will eventually be revealed. Jack and Xenia Rabinowitz were laid to rest together, side by side, at Palm Valley View Memorial Park in Las Vegas. The couple's last wishes directed all donations in their name be made either to Israel or to the Nevada Humane Society. Their fight for the liberation of Jewish citizens in the Soviet Union continued to grow after their murders, culminating in a 1987 march by activists protesting Soviet treatment of its Jewish citizens. The march, which was held on the National Mall in Washington, D.C., drew over 200,000 demonstrators. Bowing to ongoing pressure, Soviet President Mikhail Gorbachev eventually passed into law measures that allowed the so-called refuseniks to leave the USSR. To learn more about this Las Vegas true crime story and many others, visit mayheminthedesert.com and get yourself acquainted with the darker side of Sin City's history. Sin City Stories, Vegas True Crime, is based on material researched and written by Megan and Anthony Smith and is adapted for podcast, edited, and narrated by Jeff Walker. Sin City Stories, Vegas True Crime, is a co-production of Mayhem in the Desert and Walker New Media. Copyright 2024.
Saving money on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Menards has a huge selection of concrete and mortar mixes. Our concrete products are great for a variety of applications, including pouring a walkway, setting a post, or even installing stone veneer. View our entire selection of concrete mixes and supplies in-store and on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for more great deals happening this week. Save.